Small Town Podcast is made possible by generous support from the Georgia Municipal Association. GMA supports Georgia cities. Small Town Podcast is supported by Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company. Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company is a full-line supplier of products for the water, wastewater, and natural gas industries, and they serve utilities and public works departments in cities, large and small, every day. As a family-owned company with a legacy that began in 1960, let Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company show you that they are dedicated to service.
I hereby call this episode to order.
Hey, small towners, it's Mayor Matt Seal, and thanks for joining me for another episode of Small Town Podcast. Well, after a road trip to places far away from my small town of Ocilla, Georgia, I am excited to share some small towns right here in my neck of the woods. You've heard me thank the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority for their sponsorship of this season of Small Town Podcast. So while the city of Douglas itself is too big by my measure to be classified as a small town for purposes of the podcast, Coffee County has three other municipalities that certainly fit the bill, so I decided we should explore and share those. Today, we visit a small town in Coffee County where you may regularly find horses riding on the streets of downtown, and we'll talk with a new mayor who is inspired to revitalize the small town she loves so much. We're going to go talk with Mayor Dawn Tootin in the small town of Broxton, Georgia. Come go with me. Growing up in coastal Georgia, I only thought I lived in a small town. As soon as I graduated high school, I moved to the big city of Atlanta for college and to start my life. But life is a journey, and I ended up in Ocilla, Georgia. Population 3,400. We've got two traffic lights here. We're not looking to get a third anytime soon. Some years later, the people of Ocilla made me their mayor. Man, I love living in a small town. Other folks do too. This is the Small Town Podcast, and I'm your host, Mayor Matt Seal of the great city of Ocilla, Georgia. Small Town Podcast is sponsored by the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority. Our nation is going through an incredible transition right now. There's a mass migration to small towns and rural communities. People are seeking out vibrant communities with great entertainment, recreational opportunities, low cost of living, and strong local economies. If that sounds like something you would like to find, then I invite you to discover the city of Douglas and Coffee County, Georgia. Visit coffeegachamber.com to find out why the Douglas Coffee County community is a great place to visit and an even better place to call home. All right, well, here we are in the small town of Broxton, Georgia. We're actually sitting in the mayor's office. Now, this town, I believe, I haven't asked the population yet, but I'm pretty sure it's smaller than the great city of Ocilla. But the mayor's office is much larger than the mayor's office of the great city of Ocilla. So I've already told her I'm a little jealous. But I'm sitting across the table, the little conference table in the mayor's office with the mayor of Broxton, Mayor Dawn Tootin. Mayor Tootin, thanks so much for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Good morning, Mayor. And welcome to Broxton.
Thank you so much. It's right down the road from Ocilla. We come through all the time, but I'm fairly certain I'm going to learn something new. Starting with, you and I have never met, so I got to meet you for the first time face-to-face just this morning. So looking forward to getting to know you. And I'm going to let the audience get to know you by starting out with the same question I always start in every episode with a guest and ask you, were you born in Broxton, Georgia?
I was not born in Broxton, Georgia, but I was born in Douglas, Georgia, which is only 6 miles away. My grandparents lived here. My grandfather was the country doctor.
Okay.
He originally scooted around the county with a horse and buggy.
Wow.
Later with a Model A or T. he didn't know how to drive. I've heard stories about that. But
did he not have a driver? I would think after a couple of incidents, maybe the doctor needs to be chauffeured around.
He didn't have a driver.
Okay.
But his driving skills were...
Well, he was used to driving the horse and buggy, as you just said. So that was all, that was new for a lot of people in that day, I guess.
It really was. But my father had a farm over here. So we were here, although we lived in Douglas, we were here every weekend. We raised hogs and cows and row crops. And so I know all about Broxton is home.
Now, I'm trying to think because I've tried to learn a little bit about now. So where did you go to high school?
Over in Douglas at Coffee High.
At Coffee High. Because there was a Broxton High School.
There was.
And I don't know when consolidation happened. I've just heard some of the folks talk about there were three high schools got consolidated.
Yes. I think it happened around 1990. And I had children that attended Broxton School. And we had a tremendous basketball team. And Broxton was pretty awesome back then.
But you went to Coffee and then graduated from there. And what'd you do after high school graduation?
Went to work at a local industry. It was at the time TRW, now PCC. They manufactured blades and vanes for turbo engines.
Aircraft.
Yeah. And also during that time, went to school over at Ware Tech in Waycross. I am the first woman graduate of Forest Technology.
Okay.
Back in 1982.
So Ware Tech, and it was forestry technology degree.
Yes.
So what because I've heard of people getting a forestry degree and some of the things go along. But what do you learn and what do you hope to do in forestry technology? That's interesting.
Well, being in the South, pine trees are big business. And there's jobs in cruising. Where you go out and you cruise a tract of land and tell the owner how much it's worth. It's called timber cruising. And then there's surveying. And we've got a lot of big industry over on the coast in the paper mills. And there was job opportunities there. Instead of pursuing that, I got married.
So you never had a forestry technology type job?
I did not.
I thought you were about to tell me you went off to coastal Georgia.
That was my dream.
That was the goal.
But then I met a cowboy. So
okay, and he was from around here.
He was from Waycross.
Okay.
Where I went to school.
That's right.
And met him. So he just threw a kink in all of that.
Well, darn.
But it's been a wonderful ride.
So did you end up? Living when you got married, where did you end up living? Waycross, Douglas, or
I was living in Waycross at the time, going to school. Met him. We moved back, I moved back to Broxton.
Okay.
I came over here when I was about 22.
Okay.
And got married when I was 24. So we've been here ever since.
So what? Because now people up in Atlanta or any other big city, some folks that listen from some big metropolitan areas, if they have never heard of Waycross, which is likely, they'll look it up and say, oh, yeah, that's a rural area. Waycross and Douglas, which I don't consider small towns for my podcast. I say population of 10,000 or lower is a small town for an episode. And Douglas and Waycross are both bigger than that.
Yes.
So I know some people are going to laugh at this question, but what made you decide to come back to a small town like Broxton that when you could have been in Douglas, where you'd lived and gone to school, or Waycross, where you went to college and got your degree, and where your new husband was from?
Yeah.
So what drove that decision to come here?
It was home.
Yeah.
It's family country.
Land. Been here growing up.
I have the benefit of living in town in the city limits, but yet still where my home is at, we have 15 deer that roam, and we have 25 horses, and horses are a big part of my life, so it's just home, and it's the land, and I love dirt.
You can be inside a municipality.
Yes.
And yeah, you probably can't have horses in just any city in Georgia.
That's right. That's right. And as a matter of fact, we probably can't have horses in the city of Broxton now, but because they've been here so long.
You grandfathered
in. We're grandfathered in, and we do. We have about 25.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Were you always into horses growing up?
Yes.
And just raise them and you ever show horses? What's your level of involvement with
horses? I have been involved as a barrel racer.
Oh, wow.
Not anymore. Now we just do strictly trail riding.
Okay.
We go down to the Spirit of the Suwannee. We go over to the ocean, to the beach and ride. We go up to the river on the Okmulgee and ride. We go everywhere and ride.
Can people come here and ride your horses?
They have.
It's not something you advertise with friends. If you're good friends with the mayor, you may be able to come on a horse ride.
That's right.
There you go.
As a matter of fact, today, we're probably picking a little girl up from school. It was her birthday yesterday, and we're going to carry the wagon down there and pick her up from school.
Well, that's fun.
So.
Well, that's neat.
Yeah.
So, came to Broxton, raised your family here.
Yes.
And what got you involved in local government? Because you're actually, as we were talking before we hit the record button, you're a fairly new mayor.
I am.
You got elected just in time for everything to shut down.
Yes.
For you not to go to any of the GMA conferences we were talking about and all that.
That is true.
So I guess what got you involved, and maybe even before deciding to do that, what kind of activities or groups, organizations locally were you involved in community-wise?
Well, there's not a lot in Broxton. So actually, I consider myself a little lone community activist, and you'd catch me out picking up trash on 441. That was my thing.
You were your own one-woman organization.
I was.
There you go.
I was. Yeah. And people would drive by, and they'd say, "What are you doing?" And I'd say, "Picking up trash.
Trying to beautify my community."
And that's what I wanted.
Yeah.
And that is really how I... People would they'd say, "What are you doing?" And I'd say, "Well, I just want my town to look good. I want it to be beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I want, you know, when people to ride through to say, what a quaint, lovely little town."
Yeah.
And that was my motivating. That was it. That's why I said, I can make a difference. If nothing else, I can get out there and pick up trash.
Yeah. So what got you from picking up trash to try to beautify your community to running for mayor? That's a leap.
That is a leap. People, a lot of people in the community said, you know, you can do this. You need to run for mayor. You need to run for mayor. And I had a lot of support and encouragement, and I really thought maybe I could make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so And they said, "Well, you should start out as a councilman." I said, "No, I don't want to be a councilman."
I was just going to ask you now, because you told me already that you were mayor, not council before, which is the same way I did it. So some folks are on council for years and then run for mayor, and some folks just run for mayor and never did any council experience, I should say. So what made you want to do that? You it sounds like people even suggested it to you, and you said no.
I really don't know. I just knew I didn't want to run for council.
Just go ahead and run for mayor.
Yeah, just run for mayor.
So other than obviously you've already said you'd like to see the community more beautified. Mm-hmm. I stumbled over my words. What were, I guess, some things you wanted to do as mayor? Because you could have organized and done trash pickup or even petitioned the city to do some kind of cleanup day or something like that as a private citizen. So obviously taking that leap forward and running for mayor and then getting it in, you said November of 2019 is when you ran.
Yes.
And so 2020 is when you took office, and 3 months later everything shut down.
Yes.
Before the pandemic, what were some of the things you were hoping to achieve in the role?
I knew that there were grants available. I knew that there were issues within the city in our water department, and I knew there was these block grants that could be applied for, and I have done that. We have applied for it. We've got a grant in the making now, $500,000 water improvement grant.
Oh, good.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
There's a park over on Old Fitzgerald Highway. Mm-hmm. Most people in Broxton didn't even realize there was a park over there.
Really?
But because we ride horses every day practically here, I rode by it every day, and I saw little children out there. And what they were playing on, it just wasn't feasible.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, we really need to fix this.
Yeah.
So we have a plan in motion now to revitalize that park.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard people say, "I want a walking track." Well, why can't we have a walking track?
Yeah.
So we're working on that. I just wanted to bring back a sense of community. Broxton is 6 miles from Douglas. Everybody goes to Douglas to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our older people have died out. The whole dynamics of Broxton has changed in that we have a lot of rental property now as opposed to landowners or
homeowners. Yeah.
And that changed the dynamics. But yet still we have a wonderful school. They're a school of excellence.
That's the elementary school?
It is. Mm-hmm. We have an elementary school. And I just wanted to try to help bring back a sense of community. And it is working.
Yeah.
It is.
I'm going to ask you what's going on, but you're not the first person that's referred to I guess, a time gone by.
Mm-hmm.
So describe for us what you mean by that. What was Broxton when people were more likely to stay here, do business down here,
okay,
in town as opposed to going to Douglas? Because that's,
yes,
you're not the first person. I've got people in Osceola that say, hey, things used to be this way on,
yes,
Saturdays and things like that. And now they go to, in fact, some of ours go to Douglas,
yes,
or Tifton,
yes,
on the other side, things like that. So describe for us the way things were and what you'd like to at least try to recapture.
Okay. As far as our schools, we had a high school at one time.
Yeah.
And then when it was consolidated, we lost our high school in a sense. And along with that went our basketball, and we were state champions. And you could always go to a basketball game, and everybody in town would be at the basketball game.
Yeah.
And it rocked. We had a department store where you could go and buy clothes, mm-hmm, that was here for years and years. We had two hardware stores. It was just a bustling little town. We had a barbershop. We had restaurants. And I don't know what happened, but something happened. It's hard now to get businesses here. And that's why I want to try and make it as beautiful and as accommodating as I can. Just the sense of community,
yeah,
is really low.
Yeah. Well, what are some of the steps you're taking? Maybe you've already had some interesting, I'd like to hear your perspective on this, because several small town officials, small towners themselves that I've talked to over the past year, the pandemic is not something we would wish on anybody. It's been, you know, tragedy in so many ways with infections and deaths, and every community has been impacted. But one of the very interesting effects of it has been, especially in the initial days when there was a shutdown, people stayed local. I think some people were maybe awakened or reminded about some of the businesses that were there and had an appreciation for it. So I'm curious what steps you've taken and maybe how people being a little less apt to travel, we're starting to go back to, quote, normal now, so that might be shifting back. But how has that had an effect on Brock, or has it had, you know, have you seen some benefits in community and people kind of helping each other out, people having that sense of community you described?
I know we developed a real close relationship with our grocery store.
Oh, yeah.
And our dollar store and our one local restaurant.
Yeah.
And I saw some real acts of more than kindness. I mean, we had elderly people that were scared to get out, couldn't get out. And I saw our grocery store people actually delivering to them.
Right. Not a service they offered beforehand.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was, I saw the girls at the dollar store working long, long hours trying to provide with Lysol spray and bleach and couldn't keep the shelves stocked, and how they maintained their sanity through it all.
Yeah.
And here they are working every day, and people are even scared to get out and go, but they were there.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciated that. And I saw our restaurant saying, I'll cook, you know, come. You don't have to come inside. I'll send it out the door to
yep.
you. Even people that had the COVID, he would deliver food to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw a sense of people really caring and reaching out and staying closer at home in Broxton. And yeah, I saw that here.
Do you think that's something that we'll be able to at least capture a piece of? I think a lot of things are going to revert back, but then some things, hopefully, some of these positive things will stay at least in some way.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I would hope so.
So I guess separate of the pandemic, what are some things that you maybe had already set in motion or were just starting to do? Like I said, your term started in January of 2020, and you had about 3 months before, or not even 3 whole months before things really started to change. And
yeah.
And there you were. So what were some of the things you were hoping to put in place and maybe had started to and
well,
to do separate of the pandemic?
Okay. I have a little vision board, and I'll stick stuff up there.
Yeah.
One of the things was I wanted one new police car a year for the 4 years that I'm here.
Okay.
That was a goal. And amazingly, through the pandemic, we have got 4 new police cars.
Oh, wow. How did you do that? I hope my police chief isn't listening to this episode right now, because he's going to say, hey, Broxton got four new ones.
Yeah. Well, we went the grant route.
Okay.
And we had a lot of help and a lot of work on some grants. And then our end result was, it was a better fit for us to lease.
Yeah.
So through.
Okay. So you're doing leasing of the cars.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So through Splosh Dollars,
mm-hmm.
we can make a lot of things happen.
You got creative. Instead of making sure you had it all right there, you do a lease so you can do it over time. Okay.
And that for our small city with our limited, you know, income, mm-hmm. that was an option that worked for us.
Right, right, right.
And our police department is a shining star. It is. It was in great need. And they, too, throughout the pandemic, have been troopers and amazing. They are doing a wonderful job and truly our treasure.
What's the size of your police department? How many officers?
We have five full-time employees and
mm-hmm.
a chief.
Mm-hmm.
And just do a tremendous job.
Well, and I should ask this for everybody. What's the population of Broxton?
I think we're around 1,700.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure the census will come in and say something slightly different, although we can't tell how good the census count was last year, so everyone's kind of waiting to see what the numbers are and say, oh, no, we're not that big, we're not that small, or something in between. So, yeah, yeah. Now, since you're a new-ish mayor and no council experience before that, this is something I've asked several times of guests before. What are some things, and the pandemic may have made this completely different for obvious reasons. What are some things, because you had to come with some expectations. There were some things you wanted to take care of. There were some things you wanted to fix, or, you know, you've talked about going after some grants. You've already had some early successes with that. What were some things you didn't think you would have to deal with as much, or that has taken up a larger amount of your time than maybe you would have guessed before swearing into office?
My expectations was everybody was going to be on the same page and that everybody was going to want, you know, what I wanted.
Right, right.
And
capture your vision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is not true.
Yeah.
That when it happens, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
When you can get like minds together and capture that vision and go for it and achieve it, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But I have learned that most things there's a struggle. There's sometimes a lot of struggle and mm-hmm. a lot of work, and I put a lot of work into things, and then it just kind of, whoop, it's gone, you know. So that's frustrating. There is a lot of frustration. But then when we do get four new police cars.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a time to celebrate, and everybody's happy, and it's wonderful. It's a wonderful feeling to be able to have that vision, have a goal, and see it accomplished. But in politics, because I was not a politician, I was a worker. And anything that I chose to do, I could do it. But now in politics, there's so many variables. There's so many other people,
yeah.
you know, with different thoughts and different ideas. And being able to navigate through that
mm-hmm.
to get on common ground to see things happen, that's been very challenging.
Yeah. I guess this is something I didn't think about. It should have been obvious. It should have been, of course. But you get into office, and just like you said, you've got some things that were important to you. You probably talked about them when you were running. I didn't ask you this. Did you have opposition when you ran for mayor?
I did not.
Okay, so you were the only one. So people had no other choice.
That's right.
So you had 100% support.
Uh-huh.
But I'm sure in campaigning, you still had conversations where you said,
sure.
Here's what I'd like to do. Here's what I'd like to see. Here's what I'd like to help make happen. Here's what I'd like to lead us towards.
Yeah.
And you get the sense, since you're in, oh, okay. And since no one ran against you, everyone must agree with me.
That's right.
Everyone's priorities must be aligned with my priorities.
Yes.
And then you get in, and then you can start getting the phone calls at City Hall. And there's a bunch of different priorities. And everybody who calls you about their issue, they really want that to be your number one priority.
That's right.
And for something that you can just correct for someone, you know, my garbage didn't get picked up. All right, we'll call the company that comes by and does that. We'll make sure it gets picked up. Those are some easy things. And people are still frustrated with that. And I'm with them. I said, I'm really sorry about that. That's frustrating to me when that happens too. So totally understand. Sorry about it. We'll take care of it. But on bigger picture issues, this needs to be your priority. And any extra grant efforts you're going for or money you've got in the city coffers, they should pay for this, not that.
Absolutely.
And that's the competing interest kind of thing. That's,
yes.
And you're at the center of it trying to balance it all.
Yes.
So what are some other interests that or priorities that the people have brought to you that you just didn't expect to be as big an issue?
Roads.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to live on a nice road.
Smooth
road.
Right.
And we have an issue. We had a big issue with potholes. Mm-hmm. And we recently went through LMIG money.
Yeah.
We paved probably.
And for those who don't know, that's the local maintenance and improvement grant that every city and county gets every year from the State Department of Transportation. Please keep that coming, legislators.
Please. Thank you. Because there is one beautiful, smooth road in Broxton because of it. Mm-hmm. But you get people, well, why did you pave that road?
Right, right.
You know?
Then wait, why are you prioritizing someone else's road over mine?
Yeah. You know, that road doesn't go anywhere. Why did you pave that one?
I apologized to my neighbors when I got elected because I told them, I said, you realize your road is now going to be the last one to ever get paved because everyone else has got to come first. And it's funny how we even had to, there was just a drainage issue at an intersection close to my house. And so I had to put down a drain pipe and then do a little concrete across it.
Mm-hmm.
And people got on Facebook and said, I see the mayor's taking care of his road. He got his whole road repaved. And I thought, there's still a few things wrong with the road. You got to constantly, and I know some people just say, oh, you just can't worry about that. Just pave your own road. There are other roads that are worse. And so those come first. But yeah, everyone's looking which road's more important to the mayor.
They are. So we've started little projects where we go out and, just this past few weeks, we went out and filled up some major potholes.
Yeah.
And then we're going to review and analyze and see which road is
next in line.
Next in line. And that's where community feedback, it helps, you know. I mean, I need to know. I'm in the community. I'm constantly in my car going here, going there. People will call and say, come look at this, come look at that. And I do. And I'm surprised, mm-hmm. you know, at what I see sometimes and how it really needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
There's real issues out there. And I am a hands-on mayor. You'll catch me turning on water and turning water off. And I want to be on the lawnmower, but they won't let me.
They won't let you?
No, they won't let me.
Don't they work for you? You can just tell them.
Yeah, but
I tried to go climb the water tower one time because I thought that'd be the greatest view in Osceola, and the company that we contracted out to said,
don't do that.
Well, we can't let you use our harness. I said, okay, well, I do want a harness.
Yeah. Well, I'm like that. I want to,
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to talk some more about Broxton and talk about what people can come and enjoy here. But before we do that, I've got a section. It's become one of my favorite things to do on these interviews is the get to know you question. So I got four questions to help me get to know you. The audience will get to know you. Everybody will have a blast. So here we go. Four questions. The first one, do you now have or have you ever had a nickname? And a smile came across her face. Is there a story there?
My name is Dawn Tootin.
Right.
And people love to call me Darn Tootin.
Darn Tootin. That's where the nickname came. I asked you about that.
I didn't.
I said, well, yeah, it sounds close to that. I bet you've never gotten that.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like men of nicknames.
Yeah.
So you didn't have that as a child because that's your married name.
That's my married name. As a child, my brothers called me a lot of names.
I bet.
A lot.
I think you said, how many siblings?
I had five older brothers, okay. And I was the youngest daughter.
Yep.
The only daughter.
Okay. So you were the youngest
and the only girl.
I think you said you learned how to drive and fight real young age.
Yes, I did. Yes. I can drive anything and fight tigers.
But, oh, my goodness. But around here at City Hall, they say darn tootin', huh?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
A lot of people do.
Darn tootin'.
Darn tootin'.
Did you put that, if I know you didn't have to campaign quite as much because you were the only one running, but if you ever, when you run again, if you have, that could be a good campaign slogan.
Rooting for tootin'.
Are we gonna make this this town better and cleaner? You're darn tootin'. That's just my idea for you. There you go. All right, next question. What would be your go-to karaoke song? You're at a karaoke bar, and you're the next one up, and you get to tell them what song to cue up.
Maggie May.
Maggie May.
Yeah, Rod Stewart.
Oh, Rod Stewart.
Maggie May.
I do remember that song, actually. Yeah. All right, Maggie May, you were quick on that one. Some people, that stumps them. But have you actually already done that in karaoke before?
At home.
At home, okay. Yeah. Private karaoke club at the mayor's house. That's interesting. Okay, next question. What is your favorite meal or favorite dish?
Oh, my goodness.
That one's harder than the karaoke song.
That's harder than the karaoke. I love to eat. I really have no favorites. If it's good.
You got a favorite, maybe, I don't know.
I like stuffed flounder.
Stuffed flounder.
Yeah.
Okay. That was pretty specific. You got it down. So I was going to say,
that's good.
Seafood. All right. Stuffed flounder. Mm-hmm. All right. And final question. If you could attend any concert of any singer, duo, band, any kind of performer of any kind, whether they are now dead or alive, whose concert would you want to attend? I can't believe the karaoke song was the one that stumped you the least.
Yeah. I'm a great blues fan.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I really don't know.
We got to come up with someone.
Of Rod Stewart.
Well, you said Maggie May. That makes sense.
That's right.
Rod Stewart in concert.
Rocks.
All right. Sounds good.
Rod rocks.
Thanks for letting us get to know you.
You're certainly welcome.
So I've already mentioned that the city of Douglas was too big to get its own episode of Small Town Podcast, but I did stop by to talk to the folks who invited me to Coffee County and also generously sponsored this entire season of Small Town Podcast.
All right, well, if you're in Coffee County, you got to come by the chamber office. So I'm here. Very nice conference room. Much nicer than my council chamber or anything at City Hall in the great city of Osceola. But I'm sitting with John Henry. He is the executive director of the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority. John, did I get all that right?
You got it right.
Well, John, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Absolutely. Welcome to Douglas.
And thanks for hosting this. And you guys have been a season sponsor, and I really appreciate that. And I know all the listeners do appreciate you supporting us as we go out and explore and share some great small towns. And we're starting now to explore some small towns, some great small towns in Coffee County. So thanks for inviting us over.
Wonderful. I'm pleased to have you here, and it's a great program, and we really love, we're proud sponsors. Love the programming that you have and the focus on the small towns throughout America, and especially here in the South is very near and dear to my heart.
That's right. No, I've referenced Douglas and Coffee County several times on the podcast because it's 30 minutes. Douglas is 30 minutes to one side of Osceola, Tifton, 30 minutes to the other side. And while Douglas is not a small town, at least by my definition, you got some other small towns that we're going to look forward to exploring. John and I were in, I think it was the first time we met, we were in the same South Georgia Leads class, leadership class
in
South Georgia, but of course you're right next door, so we've had several run-ins and conversations and contacts since then. And what I wanted to start with was, you and I have kind of talked about this trend that was already happening, and then there was this little pandemic that we've been dealing with. It's kind of accelerated the trend of people really looking to live, work, and kind of raise families in rural communities, in smaller towns. So talk about that, because you got some interesting thoughts on that. And then talk about why they may want to look at Douglas and some of these other small towns in Coffee County.
Yeah, we're certainly looking at that right now. That's become a big focus in rural economic development over the past year, and especially since the pandemic started. Density and congestion are great when it all works accordingly. I think over the past 50 years, we've seen a lot of people migrate off the farm, so to speak, and into the suburbs and inner cities, back and forth from city dwellers to suburb dwellers. And the macro thought is that, you know, it's kind of left a lot of the rural communities dying on the vine. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily the case, as you well know. A lot of these rural communities have higher populations than they've ever had. I know right here in Douglas, our population is much greater than it's ever been in the history. You know, it's an incline. But the jammed office buildings, you know, those things, we don't know where that's going to be in the future. But the work from home aspect is certainly here to stay for a while, for at least a percentage of the employment base out there nationwide. And people have a lot more freedom now about where they want to go.
Yeah.
We're finding that a lot of people were in the suburban settings, in urban settings, more or less because the jobs were there, not necessarily by choice. A lot of people prefer, you know, living their family and having the better commute, you know, shorter commutes, not sitting in traffic, not wasting their lives away in traffic, you know, being able to see rural scenery and wildlife once in a while. And that sort of lifestyle, it's a lot more pastoral and the stress levels are a lot lower. It's just all around a better quality of life for the most part. You're not going to have as many items to select from on the restaurant selection or the coffee shop selection, those sorts of things. But I can tell you, we've got some really good restaurants. Those mom and pop type shops are all over rural areas, some of the best food you'll ever have. Coffee shops and just the selection that's available now is as broad as it's ever been, if not better. We have a lot of young entrepreneurs that are coming to these communities, and right here in Douglas, we're highly encouraging that. It's easier now to start up a small business than it ever has been. You get more government support, more local support. The availability of vacant space is there to pick and choose what you really want to do. It's just so much easier now for people to hang their own shingle and do what they've always wanted to do instead of working for somebody else. So those entrepreneurs we take good care of around here, and it creates a lot of choice. You know, it really does. So we've been focused on those choices and amenities from a retail side, from a leisure time aspect, just having recreation and parks, the entertainment areas, music. We focused heavily on here for the entertainment. We want the lifestyle where we can go out and have a nice foodie experience, you know, and then go see a good musical act and take the family out on Sunday to the park and, you know, and enjoy that leisure time that way. So those are the quality of life things that I think a lot of people have misconceptions about in rural areas.
Yeah.
You know, we have the same opportunities here. It's just on a much less stressed environment. So
without all that congestion you referenced.
That's right. That's right. I did my time sitting in traffic on the interstates in Atlanta. So I was pleased to get back to South Georgia where I could at least drive the speed limit.
That's right.
Irwinomics is the producer of Small Town Podcast. We also handle digital production and marketing for small businesses that help small towns survive and thrive. In today's global and very digital world, your digital presence is just as important as your physical presence, if not more so. Irwinomics helps clients with all aspects of digital communications, from website creation and maintenance, social media management, email lists and newsletters, digital content creation, including audio and video production, and making sure that all of these things are working together to build your business beyond the city limits and county lines, so you can focus on keeping your small town community strong and vibrant. For more information and to see how Irwinomics can help guide you in growing your business, go to Irwinomics.com or contact us through Small Town Podcast. That's IRWINOMICS.com. Irwinomics, helping small town business thrive.
All right. Well, I know we've already talked a lot about Broxton already and your involvement and things that you remember about Broxton, things that you're trying to bring back. But I happen to know that usually small towns, people don't think, oh, there's nothing to do there. But they usually have some of the greatest activities anyway. So let's talk about some of the things. I think you told me that there is an annual festival in Broxton. So let's talk about that. What's it called?
It is called the Broxton Chicken, Liver, and Gizzard Festival.
Chicken, we couldn't just pick one. We have to
know.
Go. No one can decide. Kind of like you with the food question.
That's true.
Yep.
Yeah.
Chicken, Liver, and Gizzards Festival.
Yes.
So what time of year is that?
That is the first weekend in November.
Uh-huh.
It's been going on probably for about 8 years.
Okay. So fairly new.
Yeah, fairly new.
Yeah.
We didn't get to have it last year because of the pandemic.
Yep.
But along with the Chicken, Liver, and Gizzard Festival.
That's a mouthful.
It is. We also have that same weekend at my house. We have a Broxton camp out and trail ride.
Oh, okay.
We'll have 300 people come to event. We have live music at night.
Wow.
We feed on Friday night. We feed on breakfast and we feed on lunch.
And so you've done that several years or just?
We did it 2 years.
Okay.
We didn't do it this past year.
Right.
We probably have plans to do it again in November.
And it's always with the Chicken, Liver, and Gizzards Festival.
Because we have a parade that Saturday morning.
Uh-huh.
So we'll get up and 100 horses will come to town and ride in the parade.
At the end of the parade, the back of the parade,
yes,
right?
The back of the parade.
I want to make sure everyone understands the horses are the back of the parade.
Yeah, they are.
For obvious reasons. Tell me this now. So if someone comes to the Chicken, Liver, and Gizzards Festival, mm-hmm. is there a cooking contest, or there's a lot of vendors that do a bunch of different things? What can they expect to experience?
Some years they do have a contest, livers and gizzards.
Yep.
And
chicken.
Well, yeah, but it's usually livers and gizzards.
Those are the more rare things. People
they
getting
are.
Chicken every day. So
yeah. Some years we do have a contest, and if not, if we don't have the contest, there are vendors that serve up fried livers, fried mm-hmm. gizzards, mm-hmm. and they're a big hit. People
yeah.
love them.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's been a pretty well attended festival.
It I mean, is.
Obviously, last year missed
we,
out. But
we block off 441.
Uh-huh.
The entire 441 is blocked off
oh,
for
wow.
the entire day, and we have it right down the center of town.
Okay.
We have a lot of vendors. Just a real good day. And
yeah.
usually the weather is fine and first weekend in November, and we'll have live music and all kind of food and a court for the kids and just a good little festival.
So that the festival itself is Saturday only. You got
yes.
the parade in the morning and then
mm-hmm.
street blocked off, lots of vendors, everything all day. But your event that you've been doing for the last few
yeah.
years, that's they're camping out. So it's Friday night and on into Saturday.
That's
so,
right.
Okay.
We'll have live music Friday night and Saturday night and lots of food and horses. Everywhere. Horses everywhere. We are the best little horse town in Georgia.
Broxton is?
We are.
Is that an official, or we're claiming
I officially,
that? You officially claim
yes,
it right now until someone tries to compete with you, and then you'll still be
I don't think anybody can compete with us.
Best little horse town.
This is the only little town that you're going to go through and see horses riding under the traffic light. It is. You'll see wagons, you'll see carts, you'll see horses, you'll see mules. Every day,
yeah.
you'll see a horse on the streets of Broxton.
So the people, because you mentioned you've got, how many horses do you have now? You said 25.
I have about 25.
And so you're not the only one that's got horses that
no, we actually have a little riding club, a little trail riding club.
Okay.
We're called the Broxton Streetwalkers. because we ride the streets of Broxton.
Right. You want to make sure that everyone understands there's horses involved in these.
Yes.
It's the horses that are walking the streets. Yeah. I just want to clarify for you. That could have a negative connotation for
I know
you.
It. It could.
I don't want you to sully the reputation of your town.
But it's only because we do ride the streets of Broxton.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll see us on back streets, 441. We're everywhere.
So when we talked about this earlier, I was thinking you had some horses and now you're not supposed to, but you still have. So you know, your grandfather in, but it sounds like I was thinking you were the only one.
Oh no, there's others.
How many horse owners are there and how many horses are we talking about? You may have more horses in Broxton than people.
No, there's a small group of us.
Yeah.
And we're a very diverse group.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
We're very diverse.
So how many horses are we talking here?
On Sundays, we usually have we can have anywhere from 10 to 20.
Okay.
You know?
But it's every weekend, there's horses just
every
riding around.
Every Sunday we ride.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
All right. So if you want to come see some horses at a traffic light,
mm-hmm.
Broxton's your
Broxton.
Place to go. What'd you call it? I want to get the words right. The best small town.
The best little horse town in Georgia.
Best little horse town. Okay.
Yes, right. We are.
So first weekend of November.
Yes.
And there's horse riding there, but if any other Sunday, you can see
mm-hmm.
them street
yeah.
walking through town.
Yeah, that's
all right,
correct.
All right. Well, let's talk about something else that Broxton's kind of famous for, and I didn't know this. It's not actually in the city limits of Broxton, but Broxton Rocks is something I've heard about for years.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about that, and maybe you want to give a little teaser of some of the plans
okay.
you've got for the future.
Broxton Rocks is a rock formation up near the Ultmuggie River. It's probably about 12 miles from here. It is a sight to behold. You would never dream that in South Georgia there was such land formation. It's something about land sandstone. I don't know. Do some research.
But it's
Google
beautiful.
It. It's beautiful.
Everyone needs to go.
There is a waterfall, a small waterfall. There's cracks and crevices and cliffs. It has been a family tradition for years and for 100 years. At Easter, a lot of families would go up there and hide Easter eggs.
Oh, okay.
And that's where
I've never heard that. That's
yeah,
pretty cool.
That's where they did their Easter.
Okay.
Now, you used to could drive there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Nature Conservancy as far as I know, has ownership of it. And there's a gate, and you can go and park at the gate, and you can take a little trek of about a mile down to the falls. It's worth the trip.
Yeah.
Now, it's not, there's no restrooms. It's not stroller friendly.
It's nature.
It's nature. You are in the woods, and there's a lot of endangered species, and they've planted longleaf pines, and it's just a beautiful, if you're a nature lover, it is a place to go and experience. But put on some good walking shoes and be aware there's, you're in nature.
Yep, yep.
And it's hot if you go at the wrong time of the year. I think there are guided tours you could probably get with the chamber over in Douglas, the Chamber of Commerce, and talk with them about guided tours that they provide throughout the year. I know that it's open to the public usually springtime through fall. It's kind of at your own. You can go. Mm-hmm. It's not really difficult to get to, but it is in the country. I would say stop by City Hall here in Broxton, and I'll draw you a map. I might even carry you because you need to see it. If you love unusual, beautiful landforms, you need to see the Broxton Rocks. And I'm working with the Chamber of Commerce to see if maybe we can, through the city of Broxton, provide more tours. Mm-hmm. That's just something we're looking at.
Well, yeah, you said there were people that will call here because it's called Broxton Rocks. People think it's in Broxton, and it's actually a good bit outside. And so having something to provide better guidance to get there.
Uh-huh. And so that's in the plans. We're hoping maybe a person that could do this, maybe little personal tours. Mm-hmm. We're working on that. We want to include the Broxton Rocks in our tourism, you know, for Broxton.
Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful natural resource.
And it is.
Definitely want to encourage people to go to it. And then, of course, do a little shopping, go to the restaurant. Yeah.
Restaurant. We have a restaurant.
Come back to Broxton. That's right. Mm-hmm. Check in here, come back afterwards.
Yeah. Stop by here. I'll do my best to get you out there. Then when you come back through, there's a lovely little local restaurant called Blue's Place. He is a pit master barbecue.
Okay.
Best stuffed potatoes around. And ribs. He claims his ribs are world famous.
So it sounds like you need to go to the restaurant first, and then you can walk off all the good food by the mile hike into the Broxton Rocks.
Yeah. That would work.
Well, Mayor, as we close things out, I want to give you the opportunity, and I give all my guests, to go and speak directly to our Small Town Podcast audience and tell them why they should come visit, or maybe they should come move to, Broxton, Georgia.
Because we're an awesome little town. We are centrally located. We're near the coast. We're near the coastal plains. We're nestled in there between a few little rolling hills and the coastal plains. And we are a beautiful little community. We are a kind and loving little community. We have some outstanding citizens. We have some students that have graduated from the schools here in Broxton that have gone on to do great and wonderful things. We have people that care. It's just a great place to live. It really is. We have some wonderful churches. We have churches that work together in our community. They provide book bags and school supplies and candy and toys at Christmas. We have all kind of events throughout the year where we all come together in our community through the churches and through just people. Doesn't even have to be a church. It's just people will walk in and say, I want to help. I want to do something. I see you're doing this. I see you're doing Santa on the wagon. I want to give you $500 to go buy some toys. That's what kind of people live here. We are a growing community. We have suffered some loss in recent years. Broxton has kind of been downtrodden, but we're on the way up and out and better. And people are going to live their best life in Broxton and come be a part of it. Come, I'll turn you on to the Broxton Rocks. I'll go with you. I'm a nature lover. Come on a Sunday afternoon and watch us. Watch our little riding group in action, what we do in the community, how I've got people in my group that'll stop when we see children and say, come here. And those kids that have never seen a horse, they put them on their horses and they ride them. We are diverse. My group is an awesome group. They are out ministering to this community through their love of horses, and these kids, it's priceless to watch it. We're that kind of community. Everyone is accepted. Everyone is loved. Everyone is encouraged. Just come. Come see for yourself. And we've got some places to live. Come check us out. I think you'll like it. We are quaint, and it's a good place to live. And I'm so glad and so honored that I'm able to mayor this little city. And I hope to see great and wonderful things come. And I want everybody to prosper and be safe and just live their best life here in Broxton.
Well, Mayor Dawn Tootin, thanks so much for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Well, small towners, that'll do it for this episode of Small Town Podcast. I want to thank Mayor Dawn Tootin for talking with me. I also want to thank our season sponsors for season 4 of Small Town Podcast, the Georgia Municipal Association, Consolidated Pipe, and the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority, especially for this episode. Thank you all for supporting us as we explore and share great small towns. Join me on our next episode as we visit another small town in Coffee County. I'll talk to you soon, and y'all are welcome to come to Osceola anytime.
Small Town Podcast is an Irwinomics production. We release new episodes every other week featuring small towns through stories of the people who live and lead there. Our podcast episodes are made possible with editing assistance from Resonate Recordings, who also mixes and masters all of our episodes. You can subscribe to Small Town Podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, and the next episode will download while you sleep. You can also leave us a rating and review, which would help us reach new listeners. We would really appreciate it. Beyond our episodes, you can engage with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also learn more about us and the small towns we visit by visiting our website, www.smalltownpodcast.com. We'd love to show all you small towners out there some great images from the small towns we visit and let you know about the festivals and events you can participate in. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you real soon, because there's no place like Osceola, Georgia.
We stand adjourned.